Today is the first Sunday of Advent. Do you believe that it's already here? That this season, this Christmas season, is already here? Well, Advent is the season of four Sundays leading up to Christmas. So this is Sunday number one. And if you didn't know, the term Advent comes from the Latin Adventus, which means coming or the coming. And it really talks about, this season talks about the birth of Christ and the coming of the King to here on earth. But it's also talking about the second coming. And that's something that we bypass something. Because you know what? Jesus is coming again. I got to let you know about that. And this morning, during our Advent series, we're talking about this. Anthems. That's the title of our Advent series. And you go, boy, that's pretty cool, Glenn, that's great, but what the heck does that have to do with Christmas or Advent? And what is an anthem anyway, right? We might have, like some of us might have anthem insurance, and that's how you know anthem, or you may know anthems a different way, but this is what an anthem is, okay? It's a song or a hymn of praise or gladness, or it's a rousing or uplifting song identified with a particular group, body, or cause. That's from the Webster's Dictionary right there. So during this next 4 weeks, during Advent, we're going to take a look at some anthems or songs that are found in the Bible. They're found in the Christmas story, actually, in the book of Luke. And there are four different stories, but they're all intertwined, and they all speak about the coming of the King. This coming, this expectation that we're talking about. And before we read our scripture passage for today, I thought we'd play a little game to warm us up just in this idea of anthems. And you know I like to do games here. No prizes, okay? Just bragging rights if you know this. And we're going to do this game called Guess the Anthem, all right? So I'm going to give you some clues, and then I'm going to play it. And you have to remember, this is a song or a hymn of praise or gladness, or a rousing or uplifting song identified with a particular group, body, or cause. Here we go. Ready? This is the first one. This song was originally written about a president's daughter. Don't yell it out. Raise your hand if you know. Okay. It's sung by millions of sports fans every year. Okay, this one, this anthem was used by Mike Huckabee back in 2008 when he ran for the presidency. It's a rock anthem. It was written by a band from Massachusetts. I just gave it away. And there's a little trip here. I went to see Close Encounters of the Third Kind with the members of this band back in the day. I got to know them. Anybody guess? Okay, this next song was written after an author witnessed the bombardment of a fort. Star Spangled Banner. Say, you're supposed to raise your hand, sir. Yes.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound.
This one, this song was written by a New Hampshirite. Think about that. composer was 17 years old, and he said the song was all about dreaming until your dreams come true. Sung by one of the most famous women of all time. Anyone? Someone saying, Madonna? It's this one. My soul magnifies the Lord. She wrote those. In fact, she was quoting some scripture, the Old Testament scriptures here. And her song was in response to a joyous time, a celebration time. And it's her song is the first anthem that we're going to take a peek at in our anthems series here. It's found in Luke chapter 1 in verse 46. And this is, I'm going to read it right through. She sings out, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. For he has looked on the humble estate of his servant. For behold, from now on all generations will call me blessed. For he who is mighty has done great things." And we sang those lyrics too, right? "For me. And his holy is his name. And his mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the mighty from their thrones and exalted those of the humble estate. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his offspring forever." Now this is, if you look in your Bibles, I don't know if you have your apps open or your Bibles open, you'll see that it's all indented, so it's like a verse or like a poetry. And this is what Mary sang out at a particular time in her life. So to better understand that anthem that we just read, let's do a little background. Some of you know a lot of this background. Mary was a woman that was born in a little town called Nazareth, about 60 miles from Jerusalem. Get this, when she sang this song, she was probably about 14 years old. They figured about 13 or 14 years old. Like most every girl of that day, she had her expectations. She had her dreams of meeting her Prince Charming, perhaps, and then finally, maybe one day, falling in love and being married and having children. And she was betrothed to this guy named Joseph at 13 or 14 years old. And he was a Jewish carpenter in town. And her expectations were about to be filled with this man named Joseph. But just like a lot of us know today, a lot of our expectations, a lot of our plans don't come out exactly the way that we make them, right? And that's exactly what happened to Mary here. She received a visit from an angel named Gabriel. And that angel brings her news that's going to change her plans. It's an adjustment to her expectations. And this is what the word says about it. "God sent an angel Gabriel to Nazareth in the village of Galilee to a virgin named Mary. She was engaged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of King David. Gabriel appeared to her and said, 'Greetings, favored woman. The Lord is with you. sometimes we think and we read that and we go, oh yeah, that's the angel part, and then we just go on. But this is huge. What would happen if you met an angel? If an angel just appeared to you and said, hey, the Lord is with you. I mean, it's a huge thing, not only for her, but for all of mankind, as we'll discover. Because up until this point, for the previous 400 years, God was silent to the Jews. We just came through this series where we were studying the book of Ezekiel and the prophet Ezekiel speaking to the people and how God spoke through prophets, spoke through miracles, spoke through angels, and then for 400 years he was quiet. He did nothing, no prophet, no angels, no miracles. And during this time, the Jews had been ruled by the Greeks, they had been ruled by the Egyptians, and now they're being ruled by the Romans. And they don't have their own places. They don't have their own people. No king. But what they do have is a promise that God made thousands of years before. A promise of a Messiah, a Savior. And this Messiah would be born among them, and this Messiah would be one of them. He would come to save the people and to set them free. And the people of this day would spend their days longing for this Messiah and even expecting this Messiah to come. I read where Mary was probably a lot like all the young women of that day. They would hope, and they would even pray, some of them, that the Messiah would be their child, that they would be fortunate enough to be the mother of the Messiah. Continue on reading here. It says here, confused and disturbed, Mary tried to think what the angel could be. Don't be afraid, Mary, the angel told her, for you have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus. And he will be very great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David, and he will reign over Israel forever. His kingdom will never end. I think right about this time, Mary might be freaking out a little bit, confused, yeah, disturbed, yeah. I think it's that. Because her mind's racing. After the news she just got, she's thinking, a baby? This wasn't what I planned. This wasn't my expectation. How am I going to tell my parents? How am I going to tell Joseph this? I don't even have my baby registry made at Target yet, you know? How am I going to get through all of this? We laugh about it, but this was a serious thing for her. This is a real serious thing. Receiving this news, and then she goes, well, wait a minute. And she says to the angel, how can this even be? Because I'm a virgin. The angel says to her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth in her old age also has conceived a son. And this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For nothing will be impossible with God. So the angel makes it very clear. Gabriel says to her, listen, Mary, this isn't your plans. This is God's plan. This isn't what you expected. This is what God is expecting. God's plan for you and God's plan for the world. He had this plan since the beginning or the foundation of the world. And he has chosen you. God can do the impossible. So how do you think Mary responds? We know the story. How would you respond? In fact, how do you respond now? How do you respond when everything that you've gets taken away? All your expectations, all your dreams get pushed aside, and God interrupts your life and says, hey, I have got another plan for you. How do you respond to that? What is your response when God interrupts your expectations? I think that for some of us, we have our life all planned out, and then we lose our job. Or we lose a loved one. Or we get bad news from the doctor. Maybe we get an unexpected visitor. unexpected bill, maybe an unexpected baby, like Mary had. And everything that you carefully planned changes, and the expectations are right out the window there. The problem is that much of the time, you know how we react? You know how you react, right? You react with frustration and anger. You yell out, "Why me? Why'd you do this to me, God?" And you blame him. You blame him for changing your game plan because you had it perfect. You knew exactly what you were going to do. We fail to see that this interruption in our life is exactly what God may want for us. We fail to realize that he's helping to shape us and to mold us to be more like Jesus through this. It's in the unexpected. It's in the unplanned. It's in the impossible that we're given the opportunity to rely on God and rely on God alone. Because when our plans change, we have no power over it at all. And it's this time that we can obey him and even bring glory to him. That's what Mary did. That's what she's doing right here. In moments like this, and you've been through them, and you are going through them, some of us. It's moments like this, our faith is really stretched. And we really begin to question and ask some things. Do we really believe that God is in charge of our life and that all the details therefore? Do we really believe that God's grace is sufficient for me and it'll get me through? Do we really believe that Christ is enough to satisfy all my deepest needs and not my plans satisfy, but God himself satisfies it? And do I really believe that the gospel, the good news of Christ, is powerful enough not only to save me for eternity, but to save me in this situation? Do I believe that? Because that's what happens when your expectations change. You begin to question these things. The Apostle Paul encouraged us with these words to remember when our expectations are interrupted. He says, "And we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and who are called according to his purpose for them." Did you hear that? That everything works together for the good for those that love God. But this part, that everything works together for good according to his purpose for them. Not my purpose, not my plans, not my expectations. His. So just how did Mary respond to these unplanned changes here? Well, the first thing I see is here, she responded with a humble heart. She says this, "I am the Lord's servant. May it be to me as you have said." She could have had a hard heart, said, "No way, you got the wrong girl." Or she could have had a prideful heart and said, "Look who's the mom of the Messiah, you know. Got the t-shirt, bumper sticker." Or she could have had a discontented heart and said, "Well, I'll do it, but I really don't want to." And I think some of us find ourselves in that position sometimes. No, she said, "Whatever you want, Lord, I'll do it. Whatever you want." She said, "Your plans be done, not mine." She had this humble heart. She also had a grateful heart. Just days after having her plans changed forever, Mary goes down and she visits Elizabeth, her cousin. Now, Elizabeth was an older woman, and she was barren for all of her life. And an angel, we'll talk about this later on in this series, an angel came to her and said that she was going to have a child. And this child, anybody know this child's name? Right, John the Baptist, who said it. So she's 6 months pregnant, as we read in the scripture here. And Mary goes to tell and share this news with Elizabeth. And what happens? This is the coolest story. And I love this picture up here by Corey Eisbacher. This is a great interpretation of what happens. That Mary walks in and Elizabeth's baby jumps in her womb because John knows this is the one he's going to be preparing the way for. And they both probably partied and laughed and just said, "Oh, you are so chosen." In fact, that's exactly what Elizabeth says to her. She says, "You are chosen and you are blessed and you are going to be the mother of the Messiah." And then Mary responds with a song of that just means to magnify in Latin. And as you remember, we said, my soul magnifies the Lord, is what we were saying. I found a version of the translation in the Message, which is a paraphrase of the Bible, and listen to what she says here. She says, I'm bursting with good news, with God news. I'm dancing the song of my Savior God. God took one good look at me, and look what happened. I'm the most fortunate woman in the world. What God has done for me will never be forgotten. The God whose very name is holy, set apart from all others, his mercy flows in wave after wave on those who are in awe before him. You see the joy? Can you feel it and sense it, Mary? But think about this, guys. This woman is a single woman, teenager, and she's an unwed mom in this culture. You could have been put to death. Certainly you could have been ostracized and cast out. There was probably all sorts of whispers going on about her, and yet she had joy because her plans had changed, but she was plugging into God's change. Her expectations were faltered, but she was saying, okay, God, whatever you expect, this is what I'm going to do. Full of joy, full of thanksgiving. Her focus isn't on the circumstances, but her focus is in the God of the circumstances. Maybe we should take her example, huh? Maybe whatever we're going through, whatever it may be, every circumstance, that we should have a thankful heart, a grateful heart, and say, God, I thank you for this. And then finally, I can see that she has a trusting heart. She had a personal trust in the promises of God. Look at what she says in the last part of her song. She said, he has embraced his chosen child, Israel. He remembered and piled on the mercies, piled them up high. It's exactly what he promised, beginning with Abraham and right up till now. She knew all the promises that God had given Israel, and she was saying, today, this promise begins to be fulfilled. And she stood on the promises of God. For those of us that are here today, there are many times that we have to walk by faith in the promises of God. The promises written in the Word, the promises that he's sealed in our heart. Because when we look at our circumstances, it doesn't look so great. When we look at how we plan things and seeing those plans getting shattered, it doesn't look so great. But we can say, Lord, I follow after you. I am trusting you. I am going to stand on your promises that you've already fulfilled, your promises that you're fulfilling in me right now, and the promises that are yet to come. I'm going to stand on those. God is a promise keeper. He's a promise keeper. Look at the promises that he gives us. In this world, you will have trouble, but take heart. I have overcome the world. That's half of our problems right there. And God's saying, I've overcome that. It's a promise. Look at this. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Think about the circumstances that you're in and how draining that is, how hard it is. And God's saying, come. It doesn't matter what it is. I'm going to give you rest. And he says this, don't let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. There is more than enough room in my Father's house. If it were not so, would I have not told you that I am going to prepare a place for you? Where, when everything is ready, I will come and get you so that you will always be me where I am. So not only is he a God of promises for right now, but he's saying, listen, this is a promise I have for you. Whatever it is that you're going through now, it will pale when you're here with me. Because I'm preparing this place for you. Trust in that promise. What is your promise? What has God promised you? What is your expectation for that promise? May we respond with the anthem of praise and thanksgiving as we're going through this. I'm going to ask the band. Some of us came in this morning pumped up, and you're ready to dance and ready to just be happy and filled with joy in this season. And that's great. I'm so happy for us, those of us that were that way. And then some of us came in here, quite frankly, dragging, pulling ourselves, maybe even getting dragged here because we didn't want to be here. And we're going through some really, really tough stuff right now. And you might look at me and say, you don't understand, preacher, and I don't. But he does. And he has the promise that through all of this, another promise in the Word says that God is close to the brokenhearted. He is. Whatever your dreams were, whatever your plans were, whatever your expectation was in life, God is with you. Let's pray. Father, we take these words of Mary, the song of joy, the song of thanks, the song of obedience. We want to apply that in our own lives, but sometimes it's hard, Lord. You know, because you walked with us, you walked in our sandals, and you dwelt among us, Lord God. You know some of the hardships that we face, but yet you were without sin. We certainly are not. So we come to you as someone that can identify with us, Lord. And we say, help. Help us to go through these circumstances, these changing plans that we have, and look at you and trust in your word, trust in your promises, trust in you to see us through. We ask these things in the